podcast you are about to listen to is not suitable for children, vulnerable adults, invulnerable adults, or anybody with any political or religious point of view whatsoever. If you are narrow-minded, criminally insane, or simply sober, you may want to find another podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Adam here. So, Nick and I have decided to try a little experiment. You see, the impetus of what Side Project is doing things in addition to the main thing that we're doing. That's kind of the whole point of what a side project actually is. And the reason why it was initially called Side Project is because it was kind of my own little podcast in addition to Kicked in the Dice Bags. But when we decided to split the show and go off on our own, it kind of lost that definition. Well, lately Nick and I have been talking, and he really wants to do a monthly show wherein he talks for a half an hour or so with himself or me or somebody else who's interested about wrestling and what's going on in the WWE, what's going on in the wrestling world at large, as it is something that very much interests him. And it is something that interests me too, but it's definitely more in his wheelhouse than it is mine. I, on the other hand, wanted to do something more along the lines of writing. Writing is something that I definitely have a passion for. It's something that I think I'm good at, and I've been told that I'm good at. So I really wanted to kind of sit down on the mics, see what happens, get your responses, and hopefully you guys will enjoy what we have to say. So without a whole lot further ado, I'm going to go ahead and just launch into what I'm here to talk about today. So with writing, I need to give you guys a little bit of background. I'm not going to do this every episode. Since this is the first little mini episode that I'm doing, I'm going to kind of talk about my history, and then as the show progresses, I'll talk more about things that I'm doing, projects that I'm working on, give advice if there is any to be given, and that sort of thing. So, but right now I'm just going to talk about my own kind of writing credentials. When I was in middle school, when I was in grade school, keyboarding was a required class, and God, I want to say I started in probably second grade, and I remember it was my teacher, Mrs. Joint, was the computer lab teacher, and we were using the old Apple IIe's, and God, we were all just flabbergasted when we got a two-tone monitor in the computer lab, and it was something else, I tell you, to play Oregon Trail on that thing. But I remember very, very vividly taking this class and hating it. I hated it with a burning passion. But I do have to say that I thank Mrs. Joint every day, because now at the age of 33, I can type between 80 and 100 words per minute fairly consistently with a maximum of 5 errors. And that has helped me out greatly in the greater part of my working career. It is basically the center of what my job is now. I do data entry, and typing fast is huge. So, you know, my production numbers are way up there because I'm able to type as fast as I am. So, that being said, I took this class like everybody else. You know, it was a required class at the time. And kind of forgot most of it after I took the class. But then, about a year or so later, I don't remember exactly what it was. I think I was reading a comic book, and I didn't get a lot of comic books when I was a kid. My parents were strong advocates of pacifism, and they did not really want to expose me to a great deal of violence, so I didn't get to watch shows on a regular basis like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe was definitely out, things like that. And it wasn't until I got older that I really started getting into things like that. And I don't hold that against my parents at all. It's just they were doing what they thought was right. And, it was a worthy goal, however pointless. But The long and the short of it is I remember reading a comic book, and I don't even remember what it was, to be perfectly honest with you, but I remember getting to the end and going, I don't like how that ended. I think I can make up a story that's better than that. So I decided one day that I was going to write a story. Now, I've been writing stories since the second grade. It's a requirement in anybody's grade school to learn how to write and to learn how to creatively analyze the English language in such a way that you can come up with a fictional tale. And while it's not, you know, presented as such to grade school kids, that's effectively what's happening. So I remember sitting down and I remember writing this story. And at the time, I was big into Batman and Robin. And notwithstanding the fact that Superman was still my favorite superhero, but I was big into Batman and Robin. This is right about the time that Tim Drake had taken over as Robin. And I thought his costume was so much more badass than Dick Grayson's costume, largely because he didn't wear the short shorts. And it was less terrifying for me at that point. So I remember sitting down and... Oh, and I was also really into Star Trek The Next Generation. I'd only seen an episode or two, the ones that my parents deemed not too scary for me. But to be fair, I was a very sensitive kid. I had a very active imagination, and I would have nightmares at the drop of a hat. Like, A New Hope, Star Wars A New Hope gave me nightmares for weeks after I saw it. I was six when I saw it. I was old enough to really kind of get that it was not real. But anyway, so I remember sitting down and I wrote this probably 3 or 4 page story on my parents' computer. And it was this old IBM piece of crap DOS based writing word processor thing, printed out on the belt-fed printer paper, and I rehashed this. I basically retaught myself how to type. Now, I know I didn't do it correctly because I didn't really remember everything, but I knew where my fingers were supposed to go on the keys, and I retaught myself how to do it. And I sat down and I banged out this story in probably an afternoon, and it was god-awful. It was absolutely terrible. It was myself, because the first thing that almost everybody visualizes when they, particularly when they start writing fiction, is themselves in a particular scenario, and then how they would react. At least in my experience, that's been the case. And it was myself at the age of, well, I was older at this point, because I was probably 8 when I started doing this, 8 or 9. And so I projected myself a little bit older. I put myself at about 12 or 13, which to me at that point seemed very old and wise. And I was given a costume by the time-traveling Enterprise D, the crew of the time-traveling Enterprise D, to help better affect the future through apparently vigilantism. And the girl that I had a crush on at the time was kidnapped by nefarious ne'er-do-wells, and I was expected to put on this costume and rescue her. And of course I did, because I was the hero, and that's what heroes do. And it was absolutely terrible. And I wish I had a copy, otherwise I would read it to you right here on the mic, because it was just that bad, although there was some copyright infringement that might have been involved. But it was an 8. I was 8, you know, I didn't know better. And I eventually wrote a sequel. I wrote a sequel where my best friend's girl that he was interested in, which I think I made her up, because he was a couple years younger than me and just not really, girls were still icky, but she got murdered, and so we had to go find her murderer. And of course at the time I didn't really understand the really darker implications of what murder really meant and how deeply personal and awful it can really be, because I was 9. But that was my start. That's what got me I fell in love with writing stories. And I think even at the time I started realizing that what I was writing was absolutely terrible, because I kind of went back and I revisited it a couple of times, and I never really went back to that sequence. I can't even call it a series or trilogy, because I never wrote a third one. I considered it, but I couldn't think of any more heinous crimes than kidnapping and murder, because I was, again, 9. And so I started writing other stuff, and, you know, once I got into fantasy, when I was a little older, I started writing fantasy novels. Well, novels, stories. I wrote one about the Lego creations that I had made, and it was not like Lego movie style. It wasn't kind of breaking the fourth wall of the Lego world. It was more the story that I'd kind of developed while playing with the Legos. I started writing it down, and again, as I got older and older, I started writing more and more about the things that I was doing and things that interested me. And of course, once I got into role playing, I started writing down the role playing, the gaming stories, but you know, in like a novelization of them. And I like to think that I got better. Some of it was absolutely crappy, but I like to think that I got better. And I just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And then I remember there was, it was probably 9th or 10th grade. It had to be 10th grade. There was one test we had to take. It was a writing test, and it was basically a test to see. This is well before they started doing the MCA testing and all that, but it was kind of a precursor to that. We had to take a writing test to see if we were where we needed to be. And you could score on a 5-point scale, 5 was the absolute best you could get, and there was like less than 1% of the entire population of the United States ever got a 5. And I got a 5. And I was thrilled. And so that was the point where I realized, hey, I may not suck at this. So I kept writing, and you know why I kept doing it was because I really enjoy telling stories. I think that a lot of game masters in role-playing are really just frustrated novelists who can't quite get out their first story or can't get themselves published. So I just kept writing, and I kept writing, and I got to a point where I finally did finish. I have finished a couple of novels. None of them have been published. But in the last 3 years, I have managed to get 2 short stories published. One short story for sure published. One will be published if we can get the Kickstarter off the ground. And it's great. I love it. I love that people are enjoying my writing. I love that people are getting a kick out of what I do, because by and large, I just save my writing for the people that I care about. Like, I would have my significant others read it, my friends read it, and it would be great, but it's kind of nice to send it to a complete stranger and have them come back with, you know, this is really good. If you do this, 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 and this, I think we can publish this. And it's very gratifying to have them do that. Now, years ago, and again, I'm not an authority on publication here, so anything that I have to say about publication, you're going to have to take with a big honking grain of salt, because I don't know all that much. But in days of yore, you would send your manuscript or a piece of your manuscript to publisher after publisher after publisher after publisher, and by and large, you would not really gain any ground. You get a lot of rejection notes after maybe they didn't read it or what have you. But now in the age of digital media, there are other options open to you. And I'm not saying like go out and go to EPUB or whatever and just self-publish, although that is definitely an option. But what I am saying is there are lots of other ways to get in contact with people who are looking for something specific. For example, with the Sojourn books that were published by Fear the Boot guys, the first one came out, and of course I am a fan of the Fear the Boot show, and I saw the first one come out, and I didn't really think much of it at the time, largely because I was going through having a second child. Well, my wife was. And we were really busy, and I wouldn't have had time to write anything for it anyway. But after the first one came out, I contacted one of the people that I know at Fear the Boot, and I said, hey, you know, is it possible I could get in on the second one? And she said, absolutely. And so she sent me the words. She sent me the name of the editor or one of the editors of the first Sojourn book, and I said, hey, I'm interested in getting into this. Here's my story pitch. She got back to me within a week, and she basically said, I really like the pitch. I'd like to see the story. So I sent her, not very long after, I sent her the story, and after some brief editorial changes, she said it was good. And that book came out just last year, at the end of 2014. So, if you want to check out an example of my writing, go ahead and check out Sojourn 2. You can get it through either ebook or hard copy at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. And the story I wrote for that one was called The Winter Hungers. One of the things that I want to really impress upon, and this is going to be kind of my advice section for anybody that's, you know, interested in getting involved in writing or has been writing for a while and is just having some troubles with it. One of the things that I need to impress on anybody who's looking to be a published writer is that you always constantly need new material to draw from. You know, going back to the old vernacular, the old saying of there are no new ideas, just new takes on those ideas. That's totally true. So reading constantly is going to be your best friend. Taking in new stories and ideas, listening to people, listening to your grandfather telling you stories of, you know, Vietnam or Korea or World War II, or hell, if your grandfather is super old, World War I. Listening to how people interact with each other and language, and listening to the world around you, and reading constantly fiction, nonfiction, sci-fi, fantasy, history, anything you can get hands on. And seriously, read things that you're interested in. I mean, even if it's just peripherally. Like, I got into history completely by accident. I was, at one point, my wife told me that I knew more about the gaming history of Eberron than I knew about American history. And I kind of took a step back, was vaguely insulted at first, but then I took a step back and said, you know what? You are absolutely correct. And I had a very passing interest from a very young age in the Red Baron. Manfred von Richthofen. From World War I. He was the World War I flying ace that Snoopy from the Peanuts cartoon constantly was at odds against. And so I started listening to various histories about the air war in World War I, which then got me interested in the trench war of World War I, and then that just got me interested in World War I. Well, anybody that's a fan or familiar with history knows that World War II is really, really just World War I Part 2. It's World War I, the sequel. So once I was really into World War I, I started going, well, I wonder what the sequel's like. That's not exactly what went through my head, because that really kind of marginalizes what really went on during World War II and the awful, awful things that happened. But that's effectively what my thinking was at the time. It wasn't until later that I really began to appreciate how wide-sweeping the ramifications of World War II was, but that's a different story entirely. So I got into World War II, and from there, it just kind of snowballed. I got into military history. It is an amazing thing to realize that every single war, every single military conflict between now and going all the way back to Roman times has some connection with the one either directly preceding it or the one directly after it. You could link almost every single war, at least European war, to the next. And it is this amazing chain that goes all the way back into the very beginnings of history. And that, to me, is just an amazing thing. Like, you want to hear about the butterfly effect. There you go. So, now I'm going to end the show, my little half an hour stint here, with a book recommendation for January. I've been actually doing these on my Facebook fan page for my Being a Writer, which has all of 42 likes. And if you do like what you're hearing and you want to go out and give me a like, it's Adam Thomas Gottfried. It's on Facebook. Give me a like there. But my book recommendation for this month, January, is a novella or short story written by Stephen King called Joyland. It is kind of a supernatural mystery. It's not really a horror book, but it's kind of a supernatural mystery thing. I mean, there are some paranormal powers that play into it to some degree, but it's not really the point of the novel. It really is kind of a coming-of-age story of the main character, but at the same time, it also has a really interesting twist, paranormal twist to it. So I highly recommend reading that for January. It's a really quick read. I want to say it's probably only about 150, 200 pages at that. So, and for Stephen King, that's pretty laconic, to be perfectly honest with you. So, I'll probably be doing another one of these come February. If you're liking what you're hearing, please comment on Facebook and Twitter, The Side Project Podcast. And any questions you may have about writing or things that I'm doing, projects that I'm working on, anything like that, you may address those questions to the same places, Facebook or Twitter. So thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you guys next time.
You've been listening to The Side Project Podcast at sideprojectpodcast.com. All rights reserved. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be there.